With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back with the Bears pregame show on The Score, starring Score Bears experts Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've got 2 hours in the books, an hour until kickoff. Having a great time out here at Joe's on Weed Street. Come on out, guys. We're going to be here all day long. Olin Kreutz, Big Cat Williams will be in the house. Emery Moorhead's here. I'll explain why in a moment. We're at 940 West Weed Street near Lincoln Park for Bears pre- and post-game shows. And today's broadcast presented by Illini Healthcare, Mr. and Mrs. T, Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. And all season long, guys, sports fans have been submitting their favorite tailgate recipes. 8 qualifying winners were selected to join us here today. Stop by and watch Big Cat Williams. And as I mentioned, Emery Moorhead is here. They are judging the tailgate throwdown. Qualifying recipes are live at the finale cook-off event today. One winner will be crowned the tailgate throwdown champion. So we've got 120 big screen, high-def TVs here at Joe's to come out and watch the Bears beat the Packers today. We've got our tailgate throwdown, all kinds of great drinks. I've seen some Miller Lite pails out here, guys. Come on out. We're going to have a great time all day long. Right now, we get back to the phone lines. Another one. Well, this is our favorite guest, of course. Dan Pompey has co-hosted this pregame show.
You're just going to make Greg Gabriel upset by saying that, huh?
Well, no, I mean, you know, listen, I just got to be honest. I mean, this is our third amigo, man. I mean, Pompey was our co-host the last couple of years. Little lower profile this year because the man's busy with his Hall of Fame writing career for TheAthletic.com, for TheBleacherReport.com. But Dan Pompey checks in with us for 20 minutes, half hour every week as well. I still consider him one of our co-hosts. So I'll do it that way. We have no favorites.
We love you, Greg.
But we got our partners, and then we got our guests. So, Dan, welcome in. How you doing this morning, man?
Good to be with you this morning, guys. Pat, I'm sorry I'm not your favorite guy anymore.
I didn't say that either. I was just calling Hub out. Nobody's called me out yet. I don't know who my favorite is. I'll let you know at the end of the year.
We're going to hear your pick today, and then we'll have a better idea.
Hey, Dan, after last week's game, you know, the Bears had a great performance on defense. Mitch struggled. What is your confidence in him now after seeing that game and him being off 2 weeks before that?
Well, I guess I look at it, Pat, like that was his worst game of the year, and I don't expect him to be at his worst again. But certainly, you know, the inconsistency is what troubles you with Mitch. You know, there have been times when he's just been outstanding, and there have been times when he's been very bad. But I think most games he's been a little up and down and inconsistent and inaccurate, and, you know, you never know quite what you're going to get from drive to drive. So I think that's kind of how you have to approach his every performance moving forward. And, you know, I think, you know, we've been hammering this all year. I've been hammering all year. I know you guys feel the same way, you know, especially now as you get into these late games in the season and into the postseason, presumably, you really need to run the football. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Certainly you showed you can run the football last week, and really the last 2 weeks, even though they didn't stick with it against the Giants. And, you know, you need now, I think, to start to protect Mitch a little bit and to help the defense out as much as you can to highlight what this team can do best, which is play great defense and take the football away and either score points defensively or set up the offense for easy points and not try to put it all on Mitch's plate. Because I think if you do that, you know, you're going to really put yourself at risk. You know, I think even in this game, you know, the one way the Bears could probably lose it is with turnovers and allowing Aaron Rodgers more chances than he should get. You know, the Bears have 21 giveaways and the Packers have only 12. So that's an area that, you know, if you're going to lose the game, look out for that. you know, and the Packers have had only 7 interceptions defensively this year. So I think, you know, that's an area where you just cannot give the ball away. And moving forward, it's an area where you just really have to be careful of, because that's what could be the downfall of this team.
You know, Dan, you make a great point about the running game, and I think that it's funny because Pat and I were talking about this off the air a little bit. One of the big differences last week when they rushed 35 times for 194 yards, Jordan Howard gets his most touches of the season, gets over 100 for the first time. Michael Burton was activated for the first time in probably 6 or 7 weeks. Michael Burton was active week 1 in Green Bay when Jordan Howard had his second best running game of the season. Now, I know the reason Burton was activated last week is he was part of the special plan that was put together to deal with Aaron Donald. But nonetheless, when you see the results of it and you end up with a 13.5-minute time of possession advantage because of the way you ran the ball, and that's obviously one of the best ways to defense Aaron Rodgers, let's keep him on the sideline. I'm just surprised that Burton isn't getting a jersey again this week. And it kind of brings us back to, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the analysis of it is that Matt Nagy obviously has a different feeling about the running game than a lot of the, you know, older, more, just old, I guess is what I am. But, he obviously has a different feeling about the running game than a lot of us do.
Yeah, he does. And I think, maybe he still plans on running the ball, but not in the traditional way, or not the way they did it last week with Burton. I guess that could be a possibility as well. I think guys like us believe that the best way to run the ball is to put a little power in the game plan and try to smash mouth with your opponent a little bit. And I think, you know, it's a time-tested way of winning in the National Football League. And it still works. It works this year. You can see out in Seattle how it's worked. You know, I think that's a team that's, I would say, marginally talented. And they're winning, and they're going to be in the playoffs. Why? Because they're running the ball and they're playing good defense. And, the quarterback is doing enough to help them win games. And I think, you know, that formula can work, especially if you feel like your quarterback is young and still developing, as Mitch Trubisky is, and still prone to some errors from time to time and some inconsistencies.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement that we'd like to see him run the ball more. And I think you retweeted, I had a question for you I wanted to ask you last week, but I didn't get to it. It was Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network posted some numbers on Twitter about the winning percentage if your run-pass ratio is, you know, your run percentage is greater than your pass ratio. I think it was you win 71% of the games between week 11 and 13, and that just says a lot about the, the winter months that you do need to read the ball. But, Dan, I want to go back to last week again. And, you know, we mentioned Mitch and his poor game he had, but overall the Bears won and beat an 11-1 team, and they beat them up. What is your feeling about this team going forward into the playoffs? And you hear on national TV, national radio, that some people argue they're Super Bowl contenders. Some people say no way. Where do you stand with this team after that game last week?
Well, I think anything is possible. I really do. They beat the team that everyone thought was the best team in the NFC last week. And we've seen the mighty falling all over the place in the last few weeks. We saw the Saints fall. We saw the Chiefs fall. So I think this thing is kind of wide open right now. And it really depends on how these teams start playing in the last few weeks of the season. I think there could be a team that might emerge that we're not even counting on. I mean, who knows? I think, you know, you look at a team like the Dallas Cowboys that are heating up, seem to be at the right time. Look out for them, you know. And I think certainly the Bears could be one of those teams too. We'll see what happens. You know, the one thing that concerns you is I think in the postseason you always think that, you know, you're going to need a quarterback to win a game in the fourth quarter. Maybe he's got to win 3 games. Maybe, you know, he's got to win every week. So that's the thing that you wonder about with the Bears. But certainly, you know, a prescription of great defense and a good running game can get you pretty far in the playoffs. We've seen teams win Super Bowls that way as well, as long as the quarterback doesn't lose the game. So, I think the Bears are there, and I think it's wide open, and I think it's going to be a really interesting postseason with a lot of contenders. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the teams that have been on top for a long time all season, if they could maintain what they've had going all this time.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I don't want to belabor this point, but I just think one more piece of evidence that's kind of interesting. I was in New York yesterday to do the Westwood, the national radio call on that Texans-Jets game, and a really remarkable stat to me, excuse me, but going into the game at kickoff, the Houston Texans had 403 running plays and 403 passing plays this year. Their offense ranked higher than the Bears. Their same record. Now they're 10-4 with the win yesterday. And yet what happened is Lamar Miller went down late in the first quarter with a high ankle sprain. They couldn't run the ball with Alfred Blue. They stopped calling the run, and they almost lost that football game. And so, again, nobody's suggesting that Matt Nagy doesn't know what he's doing. Nobody's suggesting that what he's building here isn't going to be great for the future. But it's harder to get confident and get comfortable, you know, when you're not going to commit to that ground game, that you can beat up an opponent, which with the Packers, I think, again, it's all about, to me, keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field. And that's why I think we kind of make a bigger deal out of them need to run football today.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the Texans aren't even a team that you would think would be a great running team, right? Because, you know, you look at the weapons they have on offense and Deshaun Watson and I'm drawing a blank on the great wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, their explosiveness, the potential for explosiveness they have in the passing game. And, you know, Lamar Miller is kind of a run-of-the-mill running back. I think he's been most of his career, but they're a team that is balanced, or they try to be balanced, whereas the Bears have not tried to be balanced. You know, it's hard to criticize the Bears' offensive approach too much because they've been successful. And, you know, that gives you immunity. So what Matt Nagy has done, it has worked. It's gotten them this far. The question is there another way that they can be doing it moving forward that would work even better, or a way that makes more sense given the challenges that they face today and in the next several weeks and the postseason, all the games that they have remaining. And, you know, I think we kind of believe that. You know, it's interesting that I think people who have been in Chicago for a long time, like the three of us and most of our listeners probably are people who have been around the run game forever, and that's all we've seen and that's all we've known, and that's kind of just what we believe in. But I think Nagy certainly represents a new way of thinking, and there's a lot of that going around in football now at all levels that, you know, you have to be open to what they're doing to a degree, but you also have to, I think, maintain a common sense approach and know that, you know, the way that things have been working for many, many years still can work.
Dan, I got to throw this in quickly. Pat and I were talking about this, but I think it was off the air. I was talking to Demaryius Thomas in the Texans' locker room after the game last night. And Demaryius, I know you've been here about 6-7 weeks now. What do you think of DeAndre Hopkins? He looked at me, he said, "That's a bad man." That guy is making plays, and I know there's a lot of great wide receivers in the game, but DeAndre Hopkins is making plays like we've never seen before.
One of the very best wide receivers in the league, and that's saying something because there are some great ones with, you know, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones and all the others. But, yeah, certainly he's up there, and he seems to be on the come. And, you know, this is the first time in his entire career where he's had a quarterback that he's got a good connection with and a quarterback who is not just a guy off the street, because that's mostly what he's been playing with in his career. So I think he's a guy who the arrow is pointing up with, even though he is an established veteran. I mean, I think he's capable of accomplishing a lot more than he has up to this point.
Pat, let me throw this at you, and then Dan can comment too. Getting away from the running game, Allen Robinson is a legit number one receiver. I'm not going to compare anybody to Hopkins right now. I'm not so sure he isn't the best, you know, this week, this month or whatever. But looking what Allen Robinson has done since he came back from the groin injury, and again, I don't care who the Bears quarterback is. They haven't had, you know, Brandon Marshall in terms of his numbers was a number one receiver, but only because of quantity. You know, it wasn't like he was doing anything unique or unusual. We've seen Allen Robinson do some things in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks that I think suggest why he was able to have that remarkable 1,400-yard, 14-touchdown season a few years ago before the injury, and we haven't seen that in a Bears uniform in a long time.
But Hub, I only think we're seeing the start of him as well. He's coming off an ACL injury. Granted, it was early last year, but I've had one of those before. Yes, I know it's a different position and all that, but it's hard to overcome that, not only physically but mentally, to trust yourself to get back to where you were. And you saw the catch he made against the Giants. We've seen some other great catches he's made in the corner of the end zone here in Soldier Field weeks ago. I do. He's even got more of an upside to me. And what has been interesting and what I've really liked about him is that Matt Nagy in this offense, they spread the ball around. You know, he is a true number one, but he's not out there crying for more tosses, more catches, more attempts. He's out there, and he just wants to play and win the game. And I think Ryan Pace has found a great teammate and a very good number one wide receiver. And I expect him to play even better once he's truly 100% healthy. You know, I think he is physically, but mentally he still has a little bit to go because it's just tough to overcome an ACL injury.
And, Dan, I'm not sure most Bears fans realize this, but he is a five-year veteran who just turned 25 in August. You know, you got to realize Kyle Long was 24 as a first-round draft pick. You know, so his best football is probably still in front of him.
It certainly could be. You know, the interesting thing is how many opportunities he's going to have. You know, as Pat alluded to, we talked about we talk of him as a number one receiver. We're all calling him a number one receiver, and certainly plays like a number one wide receiver, but in Matt Nagy's offense, is there a number one wide receiver? Because he likes to spread it around so much. You know, they've got so many weapons, and you never really know which player is going to be featured in a given week against a given opponent. I think, you know, that's kind of how Nagy is looking at it. Like, how can I attack this this challenge in front of me this week? And, you know, he's not even the leading wide receiver on the team. Is that, I believe that's correct. I believe Tariq Cohen has got more receiving yards than he does. So, I mean, you know, for him to be a true number one receiver and do the things that we're talking about and the things that we think that he's capable of, he would have to be featured a little bit more in the game plans. But I don't know if that's going to happen here with Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I think he just goes, you know, yeah, for what game plan. You know, whatever the other team's weakness is, he's going to exploit it with whatever player, and he's got a lot of good guys. But, Dan, before we let you go, I want to flip over to the Bears' defense. What are your expectations today from them after playing the way they did against the Rams, going against Aaron Rodgers? Devontae Adams is a very good wide receiver, in my opinion. Aaron Jones is a young running back who is playing better and getting more carries. But up front, they just, you know, I've said it earlier, they're broken. What are your expectations today for the Bears' defense?
You know, I think a little concern, Pat, over how they adjust to the loss of Bryce Callahan, who really, to me, has been kind of an unsung hero on the defense, a guy who's just done everything well and is versatile enough to give the Bears defense a lot of different options, Vic Fangio a lot of different options. So that's a little concern. But overall, I mean, I think this defense is just rolling right now. I think it's a confident unit. Obviously, they had some hiccups against the Giants a couple weeks ago, but I would expect that, you know, they've got some mismatch possibilities today with the Packers offensive line beat up the way it is. I didn't hear the inactives on the Packers. Is Bulaga out?
Bulaga and then Kenny Clark up front on the defense, yes, but Bulaga is out.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I mean, Khalil Mack should have a field day. You know, Akeem Hicks should have a field day, and that should help those defensive backs. And hopefully if Kyle Fuller gets one thrown up to him this time, he doesn't drop it for the Bears' sake. And if that happens, you know, they're going to be sitting pretty because I think they're going to have opportunities, some opportunities in this game for some big plays.
Dan, you are correct. Tariq Cohen leads the Bears with 63 receptions. He leads them with 679 yards. He's actually second in targets by just two. Taylor Gabriel has 83 targets to 81 for Tariq Cohen, 79 for Robinson. So basically the three of them have been thrown at equally, although when you realize Robinson missed the better part of 3.5 games, that's part of it. And Robinson is second in yards with 615 yards. He leads the team in average per catch with 13.4. So almost perfect balance amongst those three, a running back and two of your receivers. Trey Burton is actually up there in targets as well with 58, although he has not disappeared but been targeted a little bit less in recent weeks. So Before we let you go, we get our picks each week. We are having a great year picking this team. I don't know how that happened because I know I go with the old blind squirrel theory. You and Patrick are currently 9-4, just like the Bears. I got one up on you. I'm 10-3. Who do you think wins today? And give us an idea what you think the score might be.
Yeah, Hub, I think the Bears should win this one. I have to believe it's going to be a close game just because it's the Packers and because the Packers have arguably the best quarterback in the game going for them. And, the thing with playing the Packers with Aaron Rodgers is you just never know. You can do everything right and be leading the game and winning the game, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers could steal it from you, kind of like he did in the opener. So, to me, that's not something you could discount, but the Bears are a better team than the Packers in most ways other than that quarterback position, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. I think the Packers are probably playing with a little bit of tentativeness, given all the changes they've had, not only because of injuries but also in their coaching staff, and, there's a newness about what Joe Philbin is trying to do. So I really think the Bears have an advantage in this game, and they need to take advantage of it and win this game and clinch the playoff spot.
All righty, Dan, as always, great to catch up with you. I know folks can hear you during your regular hits here on The Score during the week, Dan Pompey. You also want to read all of his stuff at theathletic.com, at thebleacherreport.com. We are going to take a very quick commercial break here. Greg Gabriel has picked the Bears by 10. Dan Pompey has...
Greg Gabriel, not your favorite guest.
Dan Pompey has picked the
your
Bears...
Your favorite guest.
...to win. We actually didn't get a score. I guess I should have put his feet to the fire there. I don't even know what the point spread is. I think the Bears are favored by about 6, the last I heard, midweek. Patrick and I will have our picks in just about 20 minutes. We want to get your phone calls as well, 312-644-6767. Eli, thank you. Eli Hershkovitz is our producer, guys. Does
a
fantastic job. He's back in the studio when we're on the road. I was guessing at those records. I thought I was right, and I was. We've got Pat and Dan 9-4 picking the Bears. I'm at 10-3, only because actually Pat and I had the Rams had the Bears last week. We made up a game on the on Dan Pompey, who wasn't quite ready to go there yet. And also he's telling me the Bears, that's come down. I guess the Bears are favored by 5 now, so the late money coming in on the Packers. I don't care if they win by 1 or 100 as long as
just
the Bears get a win,
baby.
Today. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Give us a call. Let's talk Bears-Packers right here on The Score.
I'm definitely different from that first game. So many different things going on in that first game. Emotionally, your first time doing everything for real. Not preseason doesn't count. It's the season that counts. And so when you do it the first time on the road, how's your team going to respond to you talking on the headset? How are your coaches going to respond situationally with any type of management that goes on in the game with decision making? All that's a little bit different. And so just like our players, okay, I'll use offense. They're getting better by the week, learning our offense. Well, I feel like I'm improving. I'm not where I need to be yet, but I'm improving week one. And I'll be tested again, I'm sure. And that's where I got to make sure that I don't make the same mistake twice. And I'm not going to get into what those are, but that's the whole season goes. I'm always trying to start with myself.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy doing a little self-evaluation there for you. We are going to get back to the phone lines in just a minute. Before we do, I want to tell you all, come on out to Joe's on Weed Street today. That's where Patrick and I are, 940 West Weed Street. We're near Lincoln Park. We got Bears pregame till noon. Got the postgame here at least 2 hours after the final gun. If there's a championship to be celebrated, we may stick around a few minutes more. We are live, of course, now. Olin Krutz and James Big Cat Williams will be here for the postgame. Over 120 TVs here, guys. There is going to be Bears-Packers football everywhere. Our thanks to our sponsors, Illini Healthcare, Mr. and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. Also, that's not all that's going on here today. All season long, sports fans have been submitting their favorite tailgate recipes. 8 qualifying winners were selected to join us here today Stop by and watch Big Cat and Emery Moorhead, the great 85 Bears tight end, judge the tailgate throwdown, qualifying recipes live at the Finale Cook event today. One winner will be crowned the tailgate throwdown champion. And before I get to the end, I always wait to the end and I shouldn't. I got to give thanks. Eli Hershkovitz, our producer, doing a great job here on site. Ray Elizondo, our engineer, I understand he's playing hurt. A little bit of a timid tummy over there, but Ray is hanging in there doing a great job. And, guys, our promotions department, just outstanding. There's folks everywhere. Dan Collins, Dylan Buckwhite's been out this morning. I know Ryan Williams I was visiting with a while ago. Holt Erickson and Brandon Olson going to be here later today. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of the BBM folks. I apologize for that. But thanks to everybody for making this a special Sunday, hopefully a championship Sunday here in Chicago for the Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Unless you've been under a rock, you know all the Bears have got to do is win one of the last three to win the NFC North title. But, Patrick, they want to get it done today.
Let's make it
today.
This one.
Yeah, let's hope it is today. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves boast the highest scoring offense in the AHL. Join the Wolves this afternoon at 3 at Allstate Arena as they host Tucson. Santa will be available for pictures, and there will be free parking courtesy of Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. And we're going to jump out to the phone lines. Let me see whose turn it is. I think it's Mike out in Rockford. Mike, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. I want to ask you guys, the second half of the Packers game and the first game, I know we're talking about a different defense a little bit. The Bears are playing better. Khalil Mack is in better condition. How could the Bears stop the quick three-step drop and the quick slants? And that's the first answer question I got. The second one is Randall Cobb, 2010, and the last game they played, he's burned them. They can't drop out of coverage. They got to cover this guy. I don't know how this happens all the time, but Randall Cobb's been a Bear killer along with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. So those are my two questions of how they can nullify the quick three-step drop. Is it the linebackers, the speed of our linebackers? And I'll just listen. Thanks.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. I don't think it was 2010. You're thinking of 2013.
The last game as a Bear. That was a terrible memory.
Yeah, we were talking about that one earlier, the 48-yarder when everybody but Chris Conte knew what defense the Bears were in, and Cobb was all alone in the end zone. He had come back from an injury in that game, and, of course, Aaron Rodgers found him. But the answer to your question, there are two schools of thought. One is that you do nothing but let them do it and force them to run 10, 12, 14 successful pass plays to try and get all the way down the field. The other school of thought is if you actually want to defend that play, the only thing you can do, because it comes out so quick, is you got to come up and play press. You got to come up and bump them, knock them off their routes, and they will do some of that, Pat, but that comes with inherent risk, and so you don't want to do it, 100% of the time.
And that's one thing that makes me nervous about the Bryce Callahan injury is that fourth quarter against the Packers in the first game, they were playing press coverage, maybe two out of the three receivers, and Aaron Rodgers would take the ball and throw it to the guy who was being covered off a little bit. I think if you had Bryce Callahan this week, you could play press coverage all the way across the board, try to get home as quick as you can, get your hands up front. But I'm not sure if they're going to do that with Sherrick McManus back there. I'm really interested to see Vic Fangio and what he dials up this game. He brought a brilliant game plan against Jared Goff and the Rams last week. It'll be interesting to see what he does, but I think he's going to do press coverage because I think he likes to have his corners play, man or play tight to those guys. But you have to play press coverage all the way across, and I think these linebackers got to be aggressive as well on the tight ends and the backs coming out. And the other thing is take chances. Jump some of these routes. If they are going to stick with a short passing game, be aggressive, go get them, and maybe take a chance and say, all right, try to beat us deep, but be aggressive up with the corners.
Let's get one more call in before we break again. Tony is in DeKalb. Tony, we appreciate you listening and dialing us up. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I was just wondering, I got two quick questions. One is Mitch, he just seems to stare down the receivers all the time. He never moves his head around. And the second question is, the referees allow you to check at the line for up to 5 yards. Why we never check at the line? You can throw Aaron Rodgers' timing off if you check the guys at the line.
Well, I think that's what you're just talking about. You're talking about checking the line, like getting up and playing press coverage?
Yeah, I think he wants more contact. Yeah, he's talking about the 5-yard neutral zone, so he wants that bump and run.
Yeah, that's what I think you'll see, and I think that's what they need to play to get after Aaron Rodgers, because they're not going to be able to drop back and take it and hold the ball longer than 2 seconds with this defensive line going against that offensive line. I just don't see that happening. So they're going to have to have a quick game, and they're going to have to try to run it. But can you run against the Bears? I don't think you can.
Well, certainly if Todd Gurley can't. I mean, you know, Aaron Jones is an impressive young running back.
Yes.
And I'm not going to discount him, because sure enough, he'll go out and lay a 60-yarder on you to get some of these broken plays. But with the job they did on the back, I think that, actually, Todd Gurley was my MVP vote. Everybody was talking about Patrick Mahomes, you know, and Drew Brees, and I'm looking at which player is doing the most remarkable things with the impact on his team, and it was Gurley for me until last week. It may still be, but the Bears erased him, and if they can do that, they can do it with Aaron Jones. I get a little nervous about Sherrick McManus in man or press coverage.
Yes.
I think he can handle the slot. I think they're going to be okay, but you got to mix it up a little bit. You do not want him playing a ton of man.
And one thing, if you go back and look at the numbers, one thing they do with Sherrick McManus, when he has been in there, they blitz him. So I'm wondering if this is going to be one where, you know, he kind of runs that fire zone where you're dropping they did it last week with Mack and Leonard Floyd. They'll drop one guy from one side and then bring an extra guy from the other side, and that's where Sherrick gets home all the time. I wonder if that's going to be part of the game plan as well, to force the ball to continue to come out quick.
All right, guys, we got to take our last break, but we're going to have plenty of time to continue to take your calls on the other side. Patrick and I will have our predictions for Bears-Packers today and whether or not this Sunday ends with the Chicago Bears as the NFC North champions. That is what is at stake today in the oldest rivalry in the NFL. We're going with you all day long here at Joe's on Weed Street, breaking it down, broadcasting on the Score. Back in just a moment.
We'll explain to them the scenario that we're in very briefly and the opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity, but we do not. It's crazy how we think, or how I think it is. I just believe that when you start chasing something, you play different, and you start worrying about things that you shouldn't worry about.
Matt Nagy talking about what's at stake today, how much focus there should be from his young Bears on winning their first NFC North title together. Obviously, they want it. He just does not want to over-focus on it, Pat.
Yeah, and he's done a great job with these guys, keeping them on track and having them believe his message from game to game. It's next game to next game to next game. And that can be hard to do when a young team is having success like they're having. You know, Lovie Smith, when we were there, we did it by quarters. But he's even taking it and making it smaller game by game. And these guys are buying into it. When I get a chance to talk to them, they truly, all they think about is that next Sunday or Monday night or whenever their game is. And he's got them buying in, and he's done a great job. But I hope he had to give a little bit more of a importance to this game to the guys this week. I think maybe he told the media that, you know, this is what I'm still selling this, but come on, this is a big one. This is against the Packers to win the NFC North at home, and how fun will this be to see them celebrate on the field afterwards and get ready then again to get back in that mindset of week to week to week to see how far or how deep it can take them in the playoffs.
All right, we're going to go to San Francisco and Matt in just a moment, but come on, Pat, you've been on the other side of this, in the locker room, in uniform. You know he's not telling us.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to let the listener know that. And the other thing is, the guys are talking about this in the locker room amongst themselves. They're talking about, man, what are we doing after the game? You know, what are the hats going to look like? What are the shirts going to look like? You know, this is the first time that we're going to be NFC North champs since 2010. Our dates, you know, the 2018 Bears will be up on the wall in the locker room amongst all the other teams that have been up there. And then it's, you know, that's being talked about. So it's an exciting time for these guys. And, you know, the one other thing that I really liked about this hub is that there is a bit of a revenge factor coming back from week one, that this has been stewing inside them for the entire year. Not that you need something to get up for every game, but you think about this, you understand the importance of this game, and they had that game wrapped up week one, and they have a chance to go out and right the wrong.
All righty, we will get to San Francisco now, where Matt is joining us on the phones. Matt, how you doing?
All right.
Great. What do you got?
I just want to appreciate everything you've done. You're a great commentator. I think the Bears are going to make the Super Bowl. It's where their defense is playing, and Trubisky has his hiccups every once in a while, but he's a great quarterback. He has his read, his number one read. You know, he reads his number one read, and he's going to make it. You know, great quarterback.
You know, I'm with you, man. I'm reading the text line in front of me, and everybody's, you know, they're 50-50. Some people are killing him. Some people has got his back like you do. He's still young. I mean, he's still going through this evaluation period. It's unfortunate he missed those two games, because I thought he was progressing pretty well up to that point. And then he regressed quite a bit against the Rams. He played terrible. His worst game as a Bear. I am really interested to see how he bounces back from that, because like I've said earlier, he's going against a very good defensive coordinator who can try to confuse him, and I want to see how he dissects this defense and how he reads it pre-snap and post-snap.
You know, guys, he is a remarkably inexperienced young quarterback. I've mentioned this a few times over the course of the season. Mitch Trubisky is the least experienced major college quarterback ever drafted in the first round of the draft, with only 13 starts coming out of college. You knew it was going to be a work in progress. Just, you know, whatever the numbers were, I think 14 starts into that. I'm sorry, not 14, but maybe 24 starts or whatever it was into that. He misses not only two games, but 2.5 full weeks of practice, and then comes back on one limited practice and one full practice in the biggest game of his career against a great team with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and all these guys out there. And he has an awful game. Nobody's defending the game. But the idea that that somehow undoes everything else that we had seen and learned about him all season long, that's just ridiculous. That's just not, you know, logical football analysis. I think that he has shown us great athleticism. He's got more than enough arm. I think he's got a really good arm. He doesn't have a rocket. He doesn't have the arm that Mahomes has and some of these other guys. But that's not always necessarily the best quality for a quarterback.
Right.
What I love about the kid is his work ethic, his competitiveness, the leadership skills he's been showing.
His teammateship.
He gets the whole package, and he's developing it as quickly as he can. And so I'm very anxious to see what he does out there today. I like a lot more than what I don't like. I'm not ready to say, you know, he's the next great quarterback in the NFL, but there's a lot of good young quarterback play out there, guys. I've mentioned a few times I did the Texans Jets game yesterday. Sam Darnold impressed the hell out of me.
He had a great game.
I mean, he is a really...
That was a step-up game where you were really impressed with what he was doing, because he didn't have much in front of him, and he was making a lot of plays happening on his own, and he's an impressive quarterback. And, you know, the NFL needs... I'm looking forward... I was thinking about that watching the game, Hub. I'm looking forward to seeing that next great crop of quarterbacks. We have Aaron Rodgers, you have Ben Roethlisberger, Eli, all those guys that came through during that draft. They're getting older. I'm ready to see these next young guys step up.
But the reason I mention that, Pat, is yesterday after reading the New York papers, everybody's saying the same thing out there about Darnold as they're saying about Trubisky, and it doesn't make sense to me. He's 21 years old.
Right.
I mean, you know, when we talk about where the next great quarterbacks are coming from, you got to go back to Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I don't know what they're going to be, but we know what they looked like a few years ago. I am very impressed by Carson Wentz, very impressed by Jared Goff, in spite of what happened last. You're going to write him off after one game when he's ready to go to the Pro Bowl?
Exactly.
And I'm not quite as high on Dak Prescott as others. I think he's been more up and down. But then you come to the next group that has Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky. And now even these kids this year, Baker Mayfield, he wasn't great last night, but that was Denver.
Yeah, but he's fun to watch. Entertaining, man.
And you got Darnold, Allen,
and
Josh Allen. I'm sorry, he's got to learn to throw the ball a little bit better, but running the ball, Lamar Jackson, I want to slow down on a little bit. He's doing a great job as a running quarterback.
He's running that team well.
Yeah, but I haven't seen him do a lot of But I mean, that's a long list of exciting young prospects, and I think Trubisky's right in the middle of that group right now.
We're waiting and seeing. We just got to wait and see. And this is an awesome test. This will be great. It'll be funny to hear that if he goes out and throws three touchdowns, one interception, wins the game by 15 points, everybody's going to flip right back to the other side, that he's going to be the greatest quarterback we've had in Chicago.
Well, and when you look at the body of work this year, we've actually seen a lot more good than bad. And we always tend to overreact to the bad and be dubious about the good.
I think going into this year, we wanted to see improvement. We wanted to see progress, and we were seeing that. And, yes, he had a hiccup. He had a really bad game last week, but we were seeing the progress. We were seeing a young quarterback learn a new system, his second system in 2 years, and we were seeing progress. That's all we can ask for, and let's see if he can get to his ceiling and how high his ceiling is. And, you know, I was excited where he was going until he got injured.
Well, and I think, Pat, you made the point. And, again, sometimes because we're always visiting off the air, but I think you said this on the air. I mean, you want to write him off. Jared Goff is going to the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jared Goff has already been acknowledged as a quarterback who's arrived. He had a worse game than Mitch last Sunday night, and he got beat because of it, you know. So you got to weigh all this. I mean,
yes.
We'll see. I'm not going to go the other way either. He's got a lot more to show, a lot more. The one thing, it wasn't Matt, it was the caller before, I think it was Tony, though, that I don't agree with. He does not constantly stare down his first receiver. And as a matter of fact, he's gotten better from week to week about reading his progressions.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally, I mean, I've seen Aaron Rodgers stare down his receiver. It's going to happen sometimes. But I don't think that is one of the major problems right now. So, all right, we'll take a little extra time this week because of the nature, or the, I should say the value of the game, if you will. Patrick, as I mentioned a little while ago, you, Dan Pompey, Greg Gabriel, I, we've been picking the Bears all year long. We've been doing a pretty good job of it, actually. We've got you and Dan Pompey at 9-4. I'm 10-3. The way I got a game up on you is I did pick the Packers on opening day, and
right,
you've been chasing it ever since because you went with your heart on that one. But, I'll let you go first. What do you think happens?
All right, I'm going to go with my heart again here, but I'm going to give you a little story of what's going to happen today, or what I hope is going to happen, or what I think is going to happen. Offensively, the Bears are going to put up some points. They're going to figure out this defense. Matt Nagy has Mitch Trubisky ready for all the different looks that Mike Pettine is going to put up, and they're going to be able to move the ball. They're missing Kenny Clark up front. They're going to be able to run the ball. Defensively, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw three interceptions. He has had two off the chest of the Falcons last week, two off the defender's chest for the Cardinals the week before. This defense of the Bears is going to step up to the challenge, and I just want to say these names. He's going to throw two interceptions, one to trying to throw it to Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown. I just wanted to say those names because they're fun. But I think he's going to throw three interceptions to the defense. They're going to be dominant as they've been all year, just like they did against the Rams. And I have them winning 31-14, and they're going to enjoy the fourth quarter knowing that they're going to be NFC North champs.
All right, I think Detroit's going to beat Buffalo today thanks to Jim Bob Cooter, which is completely irrelevant to everything we're doing here, but I say, I say Jim Bob Cooter every chance I get. Equanimeous St. Brown and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, also great names to say. I want to tell everybody the top of the next hour is going to be brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves boast the highest scoring offense in the AHL. Join the Chicago Wolves this afternoon at 3 at Allstate Arena as they host Tucson. Santa will be available for pictures, and there will be free parking courtesy of Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. And Pat, I'm gonna kind of take your side on this one, though. I don't think you're going with your heart. Going with your heart is picking them to win when they probably shouldn't.
Right.
I think what's happening today is everybody is seeing where this Bears team is at right now. I think that we got a real education last Sunday night. Not that it was suddenly radically different or something that we hadn't seen before, but that it worked even against the best team in the NFC. The Green Bay Packers are not that right now. They are tremendously banged up. They are 0-6 on the road. The Bears owe them a bunch, but at least owe them one for the opener this season. And the Chicago Bears become the NFC North champions with a victory today. Here's the other thing, though, Pat. I think that the Bears and Bears fans really enjoyed last Sunday night, but it was their introduction to it. And I think these players want more. There'll be time to relax next week in Frisco or maybe the last week in Minnesota. I think they're going to come out determined to be even better than they were last Sunday night. I got a hunch the Bears win this one going away. I'm picking it Bears 34, Packers 17. And I could be wrong, but I know I ain't doing it with my heart. That's what I see on the tape.
And, Hub, this is a chance for the Bears to continue this momentum they got from the Rams game. You want to make a splash in the playoffs, you start now. You start getting on that run. You start getting that confidence. You start getting that gel together feeling where you know you can go in the playoffs and wreak some havoc.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of our Bears pregame. Again, come on out to Joe's on Weed Street, 940 West Weed. We're going to be here watching the game. We are going to have a couple hours of postgame afterwards. Olin Kreutz, James Big Cat Williams are here. We want to thank all of our guests today. Greg Gabriel, a regular here at The Score. Jim Osarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mark Grody, Dan Pompey. Again, Eli Hershkovitz, an outstanding job producing. Ray Elizondo is our engineer here on site. To Dan Collins and Dylan Buckwhites and Ryan Williams from Promotions. Thanks to everybody here at Joe's. You guys are fantastic hosts. We hope everybody's going to come out and join us today. That'll do it for now. Get right back here after the final gun for postgame. And for now, go Bears, everybody. Let's go win an NFC North title.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.